Name of Jesus Christ, let one another know that you are here. Thank you very much, Matt and Ayo. Wonderful. All right. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come and lead us this morning in song. Bless you, family.
Good morning. I grew up in a couple of different church traditions, and in the Lutheran church that I attended in high school, on Resurrection Sunday, there was a customary greeting, which was, "Christ is risen." And then the congregation would reply, "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." And so I greet you that way this morning, and I'm so excited to be with you all to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to be in a couple of places in Scripture this morning, even as we begin our time in worship and song. The first, from Matthew 28. Verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the angel shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.'" Thank you, Hannah, for letting us know you can hear us. I like your spelling. And then if we look over in the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2, verse 24, actually starting in verse 21, the letter is written to Peter, and it reads, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, being God, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." And I've been thinking and reflecting this week just on the happenings historically that would have been this week past. The triumphant entry of Christ, as it's called, on Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, where the folks were singing his praise and shouting, "Hosanna, save us, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And then to go through the week where we know that Jesus was then ridiculed and ostracized. I suppose he was ostracized, and the people asked for a known murderer to be released rather than him and sent him to the cross to die. And all of this was a part of God's plan for our atonement. And I've been reflecting just on the weight of that, on the gravity of that, and on the immense love that God has shown us by sending his son, his only son, and that Jesus continues to show us by having gone to the cross willingly. Hannah and I had a conversation this morning. She said, "What does willingly mean?" And she said that he wanted to. I said, "Well, I don't know that he wanted to, but he went, even though he may not have wanted to in himself, because he knew that we needed him to." And so I'm just grateful this morning to God for the sacrifice of his son, and to Jesus for the sacrifice of himself on my behalf. I was listening to a podcast where the woman was teaching about atonement, and she was talking about how in the Old Testament there was atonement needed for sin, and then it required the sacrifice of a spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish, a lamb that was considered perfect. And in the New Testament, Jesus came to be that lamb for us once and for all, for sins that we that were committed up until the time he came, and for the sins that we have committed since then, the ones we know about, the ones we don't even recognize. And, you know, it is because we serve a God who is holy and righteous that we need a Savior to save us from our sins. We were born into sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And yet God saw fit to reconcile us to himself, us having been separated from him by our sin, to bring us back into his fold through Jesus. And so I'm excited this morning to share in this time of worship and of praise and of celebration. And there are so many songs, so many awesome songs and hymns that remind us of the love of Christ. There's the song He Lives, which says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And the second verse of that song I wasn't as familiar with, but it says, in all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind. And I love that song, and we used to sing it a lot for Resurrection Sunday. And I don't know how to play it on the ukulele, so we're not going to sing that this morning, but I wanted to share those words in our hearing just for us to reflect on the goodness of God and the love of Christ, and that we do see him around us today. And part of our charge is to bring him to the places where we are. What we will sing this morning are a couple of other songs that also invite us to remember and to celebrate his love, his life, his death, and his resurrection, his death on the cross for our sins, that we would not have an eternal death and separation from God, but that we can live eternally in him and with him. Amen. By his stripes we are healed, by his nail-pierced hands we're free, by his blood we're washed clean, now we have the victory. The power of sin is broken, Jesus overcame it all. He has won our freedom, Jesus has won it all. You have won it all. risen King is seated in majesty. You are the risen King. By his stripes we are healed. By his nail-pierced hands we're free. By his blood we're washed clean. Now we have the victory. The power of sin is broken. Jesus overcame it all. He has won our freedom. Jesus has won it all. Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Hallelujah, you have won. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. You are the risen King. Our God is risen. He is alive. He won the victory. He reigns on high. Our God is risen. He is alive. He won the victory. He reigns on high. Sing it with me. Our God is risen. He is alive. He won the victory. He reigns on high. Our God is risen. He is alive. He won the victory. He reigns on high. Hallelujah. You have won. You have won it all for me, and death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. You are the Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. And the second song we're going to sing this morning is another song that reminds us of the love of Christ. And for me, this song is a reminder not only of what he did, but of what he continues to do. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, one of the accounts that Hannah and I read went back to before the crucifixion and before the resurrection and mentioned Judas. And Hannah said, well, Mommy, he was not kind to Jesus, and he told them where he was. And I said, yeah, you know, he betrayed Jesus because they offered him money to do so. And after he did, he felt so badly that he gave the money back. And when giving the money back couldn't reverse what was going to happen, he was so despairing that he actually killed himself. And she got really sad, understandably so. And, you know, I think for me it was a reminder that I have read this story so many times that sometimes those little details don't hit me in the way that they should. And so, you know, we talked about how it was a sad thing that this man, in his despair over having betrayed Jesus, went and killed himself. And we never have to get to that point of despair. We never have to get to that point of hopelessness, where, you know, we feel like that is our only option, because we know he didn't know at that time, but we know that Jesus lives, and that he didn't, things didn't just end at his death on the cross with the crucifixion. It wasn't over. Hope was not lost. But he got up from the cross and he ascended into heaven, and he is seated there at the right hand of the Father, inviting us to come and to live an abundant life now and in eternity with him. And so I praise God just for the reminder this morning that not only is there a finished work on the cross, but Jesus continues to be there with us and for us. He is our living hope. And because he lives, we can face whatever comes. And so we're going to sing just the first verse of this song, Because He Lives. And if you've not heard it before, I invite you just to listen and to think about, to meditate on what the words are saying. If you have heard it and you know it, feel free to sing along. But also, while you're singing, think about what the words are saying. Meditate on them this morning, because we serve a risen Savior, and he lives in us and through us, and he wants us to bring him where we are so that others will know the hope that is in him.
Future.
the future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for sending Your Son to live, to love, to heal, to forgive, to go willingly to the cross, to die for us, for the sins that we committed, for the sins that we have yet to commit, but that You know are coming. You, having never sinned, bore our sins, bore our shame, so that we would not have to pay the price that we deserve, but that we could be reconciled to God, reunited with You, and invited into eternal life. On this Resurrection Sunday, we remember and we rejoice. We thank You that the work is complete, that the work is finished, as You said on the cross. And we thank You for Your sacrifice and the reminder that because You live in us and through us, we do not have to despair, regardless of what's happening around us. We have a living hope in You. Please continue to lead us and guide us as we seek to share Your love with the lost and remember it even for ourselves. Please have Your way in and through us this day. Continue to speak to us by Your Spirit through this service. And help us to move through life as those who know and believe and trust that because You live, we can face tomorrow. That life is worth the living because You live. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen, family. It is wonderful again to see you and be with you this morning. For those who are visiting with the Black Church at Yale for the first time, welcome. It is so wonderful to be with you and to greet you. This is a time in our service where we greet each other. We have our what we call our love assault. And it is just a time to say hello, say a quick hi, how are you doing, to answer as truthfully as you feel comfortable, and then return to your virtual seats. So I invite you now to go to the section that's called networking. That's where we will have our love assault. It's just a speed 2-minute conversation. Please return back here at 11:35 a.m. Eastern Time, and we will continue in the Word. You have the opportunity to give the system permission to access your microphone and your camera if you desire to have those on and to greet people. If there are any technical difficulties, refresh your page. You can log out, log back in. If you are on the iPhone, try the Chrome browser. If you were a part of any other device, start with if you're on the iPhone, start with the Safari browser. If you're on any other device, start with Chrome browser and just see how it works. So please go greet each other and please return back here at 11:35 a.m. So bless you, family. And I do encourage you to see each other. All right, family, are you back? Are you here with us? If you are back in the virtual room, please go ahead and type in the chat, I'm back. I pray that you got a chance to greet each other in the name of the Lord. All right, Rebecca is back. Good, good. Glad you are here. Again, we have an event chat and a stage chat, so I encourage you to use the stage chat and continue to say hi. Melody's back. All right.
you all are here. We are going to begin our time together this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 24. And this passage is on Sunday, on the third day, where Jesus has risen from the grave, risen from the dead, risen from the tomb. And Jesus has risen from the tomb, and he is showing himself at different times to his disciples. So, and that is what Jesus is doing. So we are going to begin in the book of Luke, in the 24th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. And this is Jesus on the third day, having risen from the grave, and at different times, people are seeing him and encountering him. So Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13 through verse 27. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Verse 30. Now it came to pass, as Jesus sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Family, we are going to continue the theme talking about rebuilding a better future. And today I want to speak from the theme and reflection back at the cross. Back at the cross, rebuilding a better future. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for another opportunity to sing praises unto your name, to gather as the people of God, to gather in those interested in knowing more about you and knowing more about ourselves in you. God, I thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your word, and I pray that you will do all that you purpose to do. Your words hold the word of life and hold truth. And God, I pray that your word will go forward unhindered as you purpose for it to do. I pray that you will silence me and people will hear all of you. I pray that you would sit me down and that you would stand up. God, I pray that you would hide me behind your cross and do for us today what needs to be done. God, let us not leave here the same, but let us leave here looking more like you, trusting more in you, and knowing more about you and who we are in you. God, we thank you for this sacred time to dig into your word. So do all that you can do, God. Do all that you are willing to do. We ask for your anointing to preach and teach and minister your word. We ask for your anointing to hear and do your word. God, thank you on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it was the earliest believers present in the days of Jesus who began gathering on Sundays, recognizing the third day, honoring the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was the earliest believers who regularly took the wine and bread of communion, remembering Christ and proclaiming his death until he comes. And we continue these practices through today. This time of year that we call Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter, this time of year is an explicit reflection and appreciation of these events, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. I find it humbling to know that Jesus was thinking of you and Jesus was thinking of me around 2,000 years ago. In one of Jesus' final public prayers to God the Father, before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, Jesus spoke, captured by John, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Many of us here today are a part of the world that Jesus intended to one day believe that God sent him. Jesus had in mind future followers of Christ in speaking the words, "For those who will believe in me through their word," acknowledging that it is one thing to see Jesus, touch and ask questions in person of Jesus, and to believe. And it is another thing to come to believe Jesus through the testimony of those who experienced such. This is one reason why I am so passionate and excited about your testimonies. You are a testimony in the making. Who knows what person, who knows what people hearing your personal testimony will come to know God through Jesus Christ through you? It's humbling to think that I am a life-changing testimony in the making. Now, don't judge me for how I am right now, but God is working for me an intimate and personal testimony of who he is and who he has been in my life. Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Chat to your neighbor. He's working it out right now. He's working it out right now. Yes, right now he is working it out. He is working it out right now. Last week, we touched on the point that God has vision for you. God sees you. That God has both vision for you and vision of you. When Jesus had his back on the cross, God was thinking of a better future for you. God indeed sees you. Jesus said, as captured by Matthew, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither toil, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father sees them. Are you not of more value than they?" God has not forgotten you. God sees you. One of the big questions going through life can be, does God see me? Does God hear me? God, do you remember? Do you know that I am down here? Jesus is evidence. The person and presence of Jesus is evidence that God remembers you and God has plans for your future together. Paul says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I appreciate God letting us know through Scripture that it was God's idea to exchange Christ's life for our life. It was not initially my idea, not initially your idea to pursue God, but while we were still in our sinful life, God sent Jesus Christ who came and died for us. Scripture says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." As we reflect on Good Friday when Jesus was crucified and we celebrate today, Sunday, Christ's resurrection to life, I sing the song, "Jesus Paid It All." And I try to acknowledge Jesus' sacrifice and significance with the words, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Well, family, what did Jesus pay? Let's look at one thing Jesus paid when he put his back on the cross to build and rebuild a better future for all. There is one thing, family, that I want to lift up before you today that I think Jesus paid and that I think relates to us following in Jesus' footsteps as visionary leaders for a better future. One thing that Jesus paid is that Jesus chose reality. Refusing to live in a make-believe world, pretending that issues don't exist, Jesus paid a price to be sober-minded, eyes wide open, and subject to the elements of the world. Jesus responded affirmatively to the realities of his assignment and the reality of people to whom he was sent and interacted. Jesus could have shielded himself from what was really happening on earth, from what was really happening with people. Jesus could have stiff-armed and kept at a distance the people, the problems, the persecutions, the prophecies, the penalty of sin and death. Jesus did not wear rose-colored glasses. Jesus did not ignore what was before him as if the complexities of his assignment did not exist. No, Jesus literally got his hands dirty for more than 30 years in the mess and the beauty of life. How many of you can relate that many of an idea seem promising until you dig into the details of that idea and you begin to execute it? What you envision sounds wonderful until you try to pull it off. Taking that elective seems like a good idea until you got that first assignment. or rather got that first assignment back. That relationship seemed like a good idea until you got the ball rolling. If you know what I'm talking about, chat amen. Saving humanity seems like a good idea until the people you are trying to help are the same people trying to kill you. Jesus dug into life, and Jesus did not abandon his course. The song says, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt you paid. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high." Scripture says in Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus journeyed to build a better future for you and for me, included deep sacrifice. Jesus endured the cross. Jesus despised the shame. It's from Jesus' example that I learn, and I want for you to know that every significant vision, that every vision of life transformation has in its path a cross, has in his path a price to pay. Jesus instructed us to take up our cross and follow him. Between that future that I envision, that dream becoming true, waits a cross, waits my cross. From the time that I begin to put my feet to what I envision, put my hands to the plow, begin to step in place towards the vision, begin to serve in service of a better future, the reality of every moment and the scope of the vision becomes real. Let's take a step back, family. How many of you know it's one matter to dream a thing, and it's another matter to walk that thing out? If you know it's true, chat amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's one thing to dream of college. It's another thing to begin classes. It's one thing to want professional or graduate training. It's another thing to begin studying for the exams, to begin reviewing case studies, to begin seeing patients. It's one thing to want to be married. It's another thing to have to share your decision making. It is one thing to want a friend. It's another thing to be a friend. It is one thing to want to be free in Christ. It's another thing to surrender all to Jesus. Can I talk about it today? The space between, and there is space between, the space between what I have and what I want to have is full of opportunities and obstacles. If you experience few opportunities and few obstacles, then perhaps what you are going through is relatively similar to what you have already. Significant transformation is not required. The message will be more relevant to you in the next vision that you pursue. But when what you envision significantly repositions how you and people experience life, then the difference between the bookends is a notable difference. Matter of fact, it commands attention. It commands a response. It commands there be some figuring it out in order to chart a path forward. When you get into the thick of things, when the rubber meets the road, when your back is against the cross, you might ask yourself, is it worth it? And can it really be done? Hebrews says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus endured the cross, but why? Jesus despised the shame, but how? Quickly, Jesus believed he was a divine part of a divine solution. Jesus believed that he was a divine part of a divine solution. Jesus acknowledged roles and timings and recognized that the cross was his part and that this was his season. When Comrade Peter drew his sword to defend Jesus from being arrested, Jesus resisted the help, replying, "Permit even this." Jesus also believed God, not that Satan was the best partner. Jesus believed God was his best partner, and not Satan was his best partner. Matthew records in chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, again the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you, Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to Satan, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. Jesus believed God and not Satan was the best partner. Jesus also said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew. Jesus also believed that agreeing with God was most important. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says, "He went a little further and fell down on his face." This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and this was a prominent part of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus believed that agreeing with God was most important. Jesus also believed that seeing clearly, that embracing the reality of human condition was worth the emotion, was worth the compassion, the joy, the anger, the love, but he did not walk in fear. Jesus embraced the children the disciples tried to dismiss. Jesus heard the cries of the ones society told to keep quiet. Jesus crossed ethnic, cultural, regional, political, socioeconomic, gender, and religious lines to declare and prove his accessibility and the love of God. Jesus allowed the betrayal by a friend to lead to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. Jesus was constantly correcting his disciples' propensity to shield Jesus from the people and the life in Jesus' midst. Jesus believed solutions were available for present conditions and present circumstances, and he would not accept apathy. Jesus would not accept conformity. Jesus would not accept laziness. Jesus would not accept a lack of ingenuity. Jesus would not accept a lack of faith, proving that Jesus was all in and paid dearly for his commitment to the vision, the purpose, and the plan of God. Matthew records these words in the 27th chapter, the 27th verse. "Then the soldiers of the governors took Jesus to the praetorium, and they gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' Then they spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put on his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." Acts says it this way in chapter 8, verse 32, "The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." Injustice is not something that is new to us, but the scripture says that Jesus' justice was taken away. And his whole crucifixion was an unjust matter because he was a righteous man who had done no wrong. So he opened not his mouth, and in his humility, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The reason Jesus was able to endure the cross and despise the shame is because he believed victory was worth his cross. Jesus believed victory was worth his cross. Isaiah said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Family, Jesus did not escape reality, but Jesus was able to endure the cross and despise the shame because he believed in his vision, his partnership. He believed that agreeing with God was worth it and the right thing to do. And he believed that living and dying and resurrecting for you, and not just for you, but for the whole world, not just for my little world, but for the whole world, was worth it. And so Jesus paid it all. He put his back to the cross so there might be a better future for you and for me, and for those we have yet to meet. I asked Lady Rochelle to come forward to lead us in our closing song, "We've Come This Far by Faith." And family, I just want you to know this, that I believe God will give you, if he hasn't already given you, I believe God that will give you a vision for a better future. And not just for you, but for those around you. And when you get into this thing, you have a choice whether or not to embrace the reality of what is, or to put your head in the ground like an ostrich and believe that the enemy is going to disappear, believe that the obstacles are going to go away, and believe that the opportunities are just going to knock on your door. But that's not going to happen. You living into the vision for a better future, not just for you, but for those around you, is going to require that you lean into all the life conditions that are related to living and implementing a better future for others. And so when you think about all that you're going to sacrifice, when you think about carrying your own cross, remember that Jesus carried his cross first. And that Jesus died first a gruesome death. Even though he was God, he did not bypass the cross. But he went through the reality of what it took in order to allow us to have testimonies that other people who have not seen him, other people who have not met him, may be able to say, "This is the Jesus I know. And this is what Jesus has done for me." And in a similar way, people will look at you and look at your vision and hear your testimony and come to know God through you and come to have life in it more abundantly because of what you do and because of how you help them to live a better future. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come and lead us in our closing song, "We've Come This Far by Faith." And the reality is, we've come this far by faith, and we're going to continue this far by faith. Don't let the realities of life discourage you from moving forward in the purpose and the plan and the promises of God in your life. Bless you.
Thank God that Jesus did not bypass the cross on his way to victory. We've come this far, my faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. We're singing, oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith.
Family, may God go before you